This is Amy Brown from Four Things with Amy Brown. Today, healthier is happening at CVS Health in more ways than you've ever seen. It's wellness destinations for seniors, including select locations with Oak Street Health and CVS Pharmacy. It's doctors, nurses, pharmacists, and everyone in between offering quality care and support virtually, in person, and on the phone. It's in-home evaluations through Signify Health and meeting mental health needs through Aetna. And those are just a few of the ways that healthier is happening. To see more, visit cvshealth.com/healthierhappenstogether. CVS Pharmacy, Oak Street Health, CVS Specialty, Signify Health, and Aetna are part of CVS Health. Eligibility and services vary by location and individual.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
If a new house is on your wish list in the next 5 years, grow your savings faster and experience your dreams with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus account from Kemba Financial Credit Union. A savings account specifically designed to save for a new home where you can earn 7% APY, a $500 matching bonus, and a $1,500 mortgage closing cost credit. Learn more at Kemba.org. Offer expires March 31st, 2025. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. NMLS 292230. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by NCUA.
This is Playing Around with Paige Renee.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to another episode of Playing Around. You're with Paige and Amanda. So, Amanda, before we get into all of this live drama, because I feel like the last week and a half have been surreal, crazy, and we had the RBC. There's so much to talk about, but I had a horror flying experience, and
oh, no.
I need to vent about it because it was not okay. And I was flying east, and there was like weather. The plane ended up getting rerouted, but it was like a 3.5 hour flight, ended up turning into like a 6 hour flight. But the guy next to me kept farting, and it was so disgusting that I had a mask on because I'm still weird and I just like wear my mask when I fly still. I was gagging, like suffocating.
That's disgusting.
And the flight attendant kept having to like spray like air freshener in the cabin because it was so rancid and so disgusting. Like it was fun. He had his food and then fell asleep and was just like letting loose. It went for the remainder of the flight. And this guy was just like farting the entire time. And we finally landed and I was like, hallelujah, I can get off this plane. I'm gagging. Like I am honestly about to pass out. I can't see. I can't breathe. Like everything, all my senses are shutting down because of these disgusting farts. And we sit there, lightning hits, and the captain's like, sorry guys, we're stuck here. So we're stuck for another 2 hours, and this guy would not stop.
Like, you guys were taxiing in?
Yeah.
Or were you, like, flying around in a circle?
No, we were just, like, on the ground. Apparently, if there's lightning within a 5 mile radius, the whole airport shuts down because they can't have people like coming in and out. So we were just sitting there and I'm like, yeah, okay, that's smart. There's lightning. Let's sit in this like
that's
death
ridiculous.
Vessel and like get hit by lightning. And the last thing before I die is I smell these like rancid farts. Like that's how I'm gonna go out. That's how I'm gonna die. And I swear like my clothes reeked. It seeped into my skin and my hair and my clothes. So I was sitting right next to him and it was horrible. Horrible. The last like 30 minutes, I just like slowly started to cry because I couldn't breathe. I could not breathe.
That's disgusting. Yeah, when you said you had a horror flight story, I was like, oh no, like she must have like had one of like, you know, the plane got struck by lightning or really bad turbulence or the air mask came down. No, some guy was farting next to you. Like,
it was so
fucking disgusting. Like, honestly, granted, I'd rather have a guy farting next to me than a near-death experience on a plane, but I guess that's close enough if you can't breathe.
It was so bad. so, I can't even describe the smell. It was the
worst
thing. He was like in his like late 40s, like early
50s. Okay, because I was picturing like a 70-year-old, just kind of with no like sphincter power anymore, you know, strength. But
he was sleeping and like his whole body would literally like airlift as he was like.
That's so bad.
So gross. It was so gross. So I had to throw that in because I needed to get it off my chest because it was really, really, I feel like I showered like 4 times after. Like I was like scrubbing myself. Like I just felt like I couldn't get the smell off me.
Yeah, that's disgusting.
Yeah. That was,
did he have like
weekend.
Steak or something? I think it was good. I watched a lot of The Live. Like we watched a lot of it on Twitch, which was a lot of fun. And it was a lot of Live. Like by Saturday afternoon, I was like, I'm done. I don't need to watch any more golf. Like I think I streamed probably like 15 hours just like watching Live. And it was a lot. It was a lot, but Rory won. So that ended up making my weekend better. But other than that, I like didn't do anything.
I feel like there wasn't much to do because of all of the golf drama. This is the first time in a very long time that there has been so much to talk about.
Yeah.
And Tiger is not even a part of the conversation either. You know, normally when we have like these huge, big golf discussions and there's a lot of drama going on, Tiger is at the epicenter of all of it.
Yeah.
And he really wasn't. So that has been, you know, a very interesting dynamic. Besides the fact that he became a billionaire without playing LIV. And they even reported that the LIV tour... I've heard numbers from $500 million to $1 billion that they offered Tiger to play, which is just unbelievable. But something that was really interesting that the LIV Tour did is that they streamed on YouTube. When I don't remember if you recall, a month ago, maybe 2 months ago, we were talking about this and we said that if the LIV Tour was going to do this, they should stream through YouTube. So
yeah.
Once again, men just stealing our ideas.
I know. That's the thing, like, we knew they weren't going to get a TV deal and like they were going to have to do something like that. Now, I thought they were going to end up streaming through like Bryson's account. Now, I could totally see them doing that, but they didn't. I want to say they had like around 60 to 100,000 viewers like concurrently, whatever, during the 3 days. I think that it was just a lot of like interest, right? Like people just wanted to see what was happening. But I can guarantee you that no one was watching it for the golf. Like I watch golf because I love golf and I love the players and I love everything about it. But like I was bored watching it. Like other than just the spectacle that is the LIV Golf Tour, it wasn't good golf. Like I think there were only like 6 guys under par or something like ridiculous. Andy Ogletree finished at 24 over for 3 freaking days. Like there was not good golf being played. And
how much did he make? 120,000.
Yeah. Like, and the thing is, it's like someone tweeted me and was like, oh, no wonder why Andy had been whining about not getting like Korn Ferry starts. And I didn't even know about that. And I was like, yeah, probably because he fucking sucks. Like, and okay, he doesn't suck, but I don't think professional golf is for him. Like, if you're going out there and like, if you're the U.S. amateur, reigning U.S. amateur, and you can't get exemptions into like Korn Ferry tour stuff after being the low amateur at the Masters and stuff. And like, he seems like a smart kid. Like, I feel like he's going to do really good things in business because he ain't sticking around in golf for that long. Like, I have a conspiracy theory that he said, I suck at professional golf. I'm going to do the LIV thing, play like whatever, the 8 tournaments or 5 tournaments, make a few million, turn that around, go in, put it in the stock market, take it out before it crashes in the next year or so. And like, make off like a fucking bandit. Like, that would be the smartest thing for him to do. Like, there is no way that he can logically think that he can continue to play professional golf if in a LIV event, he's shooting 24 over.
Well, not only that, where it's like, where is he going to go after this, too? You start
Nowhere.
Your career on LIV. I mean, if you're Dustin or if you're Phil, you at least have some type of legacy and you've proven yourself and you've played years and years and years on the PGA Tour. I think that Phil's out, but like DJ could potentially, who knows what's going to happen with that. And he even mentioned that. He's like, I'm only playing here for now, which was really interesting that he said that in his press conference.
For now, like, the next 4 years.
Exactly. But you start your career out on LIV, it's really hard to transition. It's like, you start your career here, you're stuck there. That's kind of, that's it. Like, that's all you can do. And it's like, this is the decision you made. Now you got to live with it. And like,
live with it.
Yeah, you live with it. Like, your career is kind of like, done. Over. Because I don't see much. They don't have a business plan.
They don't. And that's that. See, that's the thing. It's that it's the fact that it's like they're literally playing for the government of Saudi Arabia. Like, they're not just playing for Aramco, which is a Saudi Arabian company. They're literally playing for the government of Saudi Arabia. And that's the issue. So when people say, like, oh, but the PGA Tour is ties to China. Yeah, but is Xi Jinping, like, personally profiting? I mean, maybe he is. I don't know enough about it. But to me, I'm like, I don't think that the Chinese government is, like, trying to sport wash people via the PGA Tour China. Who fucking watches PGA Tour China? No one, because it's nowhere. Like, the only player that I can name and say for sure played on PGA Tour China is Callum Tarran. That is, like, the only player. Like, that's the thing. Like, no one's gonna... I don't know. It's just, and the thing that pisses me off, and I'm just going on tangents, is that these guys are getting paid so much money to play like shit. Like, that's the thing that bothers me. Like, if they all went out there and maybe just set the courses up easier. We can't tell on TV. Like, we probably, you know, don't set it up too easy, but set it up easy enough that you have guys that might actually shoot a 62 or something. Just wasn't good golf to watch.
I think there was a stark difference between the LIV Tour and the RBC, the PGA Tour tournament.
Oh my God, yeah.
You saw these guys. It was the best scenario for the PGA Tour to have Rory win and have JT and Tony, all these really great guys in the mix who have been really strong advocates and very outspoken for the PGA Tour. But it comes down to one thing where it's, I think I mentioned this before, there's the glory players and then there's the soul players. And at some level, you need to have, what makes sports so great is the passion, is having heart, is having like the failures and these, you know, just the emotion behind winning and losing. And that tournament with the fans running up, there's so much heart and soul with those guys on the PGA Tour. They're playing for, when we're talking about like a bigger purpose, they're playing to win. They're playing not just for the money, but because they want to rack up these wins. They want to do it for themselves because they love the game so much. And you see that on the PGA Tour, this passion that's fueling this tour right now. And then you look at the LIV Tour and they're fueled by money. By greed, by there's no underlying storyline there that makes you want to root for these guys. And it's really interesting to see the people who are staying at the PGA Tour and who are outspoken and really being an advocate for them compared to the guys who are on the LIV Tour. Most of the guys that are on the tour, I've had a really poor interaction with them. There's either a story that I have behind them, or I've heard really negative things about them, or you can even see, like, besides DJ, I've always had, like, good interactions with DJ.
I was going to say, I've always had good interactions with DJ.
Yeah, DJ just doesn't give a shit. He didn't even care when he was playing on the PGA Tour. I think he's just an outlier in the situation. But look at Bryson and Patrick and even like Pat Perez. It's like they don't...
Kevin Na.
They don't care. They just want to make money and they're not well liked. Besides Pat Perez and I mean, now I was going to say Phil Mickelson, but not so much. And even Dustin Johnson, I wouldn't say any of them are fan favorites. They're not a Rory. Like people love Rory. He is universally loved, and you could just see the difference where it's like, how can I get behind, let's just take everything else out of it, how can I get behind these guys who don't care? Why do I want to watch people play when they don't have a passion for what they're doing? You want to see, that's what makes sports so incredible, is that passion, and there's none of that on that tour, none of it.
Yeah, I agree. And no matter how much pageantry and whatever pomp and whatever they try to put behind it, it's just, it's not the PGA Tour. And, you know, they had 5 of the top 10 players in the world there this week at RBC. And, like, that's great. They haven't had the event since 2019. Rory won it that year, right? Rory, like, won it back to back. So it's kind of funny. And I don't know. I just think that the success of RBC this week was really important. And I'm really happy that it was successful. Because I was worried that it really would be overshadowed by Liv. Like, if Rory hadn't won, and say Wyndham Clark had won this week, and that's not a knock on Wyndham Clark. I'm really happy he qualified for the Open Championship along with Keith Mitchell, but, like, if Wyndham Clark had won this week, it just would have been different, you know? Like, it wouldn't have had the same, like, effect, kind of like up yours, Liv kind of effect. I don't know. Am I wrong?
No, I think you're 100% right. Like I said, it was the perfect combination of players fighting back and forth down the stretch with JT and Rory, and just, you know, like I said, the fans coming up. The whole thing was absolutely perfect. And Rory's post-win interview where he shaded Greg Norman, saying that he has more win now at 21, which was a shot directly at Greg Norman. And I think that this might be the spark that Rory needed. I think that was kind of struggling with what he was playing for. I mean, he did have all this money and he, you know, started his family. It's like he had everything, and it feels like he's really thriving off of this, these controversies, and he's not shying away from it. He's getting in the mud. He's mixing it up. He's being super shady, and it seems like he has this fire now underneath him, but he didn't really have before. And you can just see it in his eyes and the passion when he talks, and it's exciting.
Yeah, I think Rory is a wonderful, I guess, is torchbearer the word? He's a good person to lead the tour. You know, he's a good person to have on the pack. He's a good person to have in the game of golf in general. And I just think he's someone like I I've said this before on the pod, and I've said it, you know, just in general, like athletes really just shouldn't be, you know, role models, especially a lot of athletes that come from disadvantaged backgrounds. Like, they do what they can, but there's just going to be people that aren't given the same advantages early on in life, and that's going to affect them later. And it's sad. And like, that's just how it is. But Rory is one of those people that you're like, you know what, he could be a role model, right? Because like, you're almost like, I don't want to put that pressure on him, but like, he's kind of made himself that, because he says what he's thinking. And a lot of the time what he's thinking is kind of like on the side of history that's going to be remembered well.
I definitely agree with that. All of the interviews, even before the press conferences, before the tournament, they were saying all the right things. They just seemed very poised, prepared, and ready for this challenge compared to the LIV players with their press conference, who seemed very unprepared, didn't know how to answer any of these questions. And I thought that Jay Monahan, the commissioner of the PGA Tour, did a really, really good job when he was on the RBC pod, or the, oh my God. My brain.
Yeah, telecast. When he was in the booth with Jim Nance.
My brain just completely like shut down. It was like, what are you doing? Yes, exactly what Amanda said. And he was asked some very difficult questions. Like, they were not throwing him softball questions. And I thought he handled it really well. I was surprised that people were shitting on him on Twitter when he did a great job. But he's put in a really difficult position. It was funny because they're like, where's Jay? What's Jay going to say? What press release are they going to put out? They need to put one out. What is he doing? He puts one out, which I thought was good. And everyone was like, I can't believe they put it out. It's like, they can't win.
No, they can't win.
And I don't think there was anything that he said that I would have wanted more. I thought he answered everything. He did it in a very stern tone. And people were like, he looks bitter. I'm like, I don't think he looks bitter. I think he seems confident. And he asserted himself. And he was like, we're not letting these traitors and these freeloaders take advantage of us. And he literally flat out said that. And this is a fight. And we're just going to keep moving forward and progressing. And I thought he did a good job. What did you think?
Yeah, I agree. You know, a lot of people were like, he could have at least smiled. And it's like, do you understand that this man has probably not slept in a month? Like, this man has worked his, like, he has not slept. He has probably been on the phone 24/7 with lawyers and PR people and just everything. Like, he is bearing the brunt of $2 billion, right? That is an existential threat to the PGA Tour as we know it. And you know, there are a lot of things that need to change on the tour, but at the end of the day, Jay Monahan did what he needed to do. He got up, he said the right things. He was stern. Like, I don't know why people were so upset about that unless you're some bot account for Liv. Like, there's really no reason. Like, some of the things, like, people were commenting about it, and I was like, you were, like, and I would look and it'd be like, June 2020, 2022, May 2022 created. I'm like,
Interesting, yeah.
Go home, Greg, you're drunk. Like, he did a good job. He said what he needed to say. And the thing is that people might not realize about Jay Monahan is that Jay Monahan is very, very well liked, very well respected, very appreciated on the PGA Tour. The caddies love him. The players love him. He knows people of the media. He knows the caddies by name. Like, he's a good dude. And a lot of the reason that they are in the predicament that they're in now is because of Tim Finchem. And a lot of this goes back to beef between Tim Finchem, the previous commissioner, and Greg Norman. And a lot of these like things of why the PGA Tour kind of needs to change is because of Tim Finchem, like this really like Stalin's Kremlin-y like culture there. And I don't think Jay Monahan's going to be the guy to change it, but I think he's going to be the guy that kind of paves the way for a little bit of change.
I would agree with that. So I didn't tune in for any of the LIV streaming. How was day one? You said it was around, people were saying it was around like 100,000 people at one point. How was each day? Did it get, just tell the viewers, because I don't think a lot of people actually viewed in. Tell the people listening right now what it was like and how, yeah. I mean, who was commenting, I mean, all of that. I really didn't pay attention to any of it.
Yeah, so I ended up streaming it on my Twitch. I don't know if I was even allowed to do that, but a lot of people were like, I don't want to give them views. I'm like, that's fine, give me the views. So a lot of people like actually came in and watched it on my channel, and it was really hard to watch. So the first day, they kept saying, don't blink. And trust me, there was no blinking because there were so many golf shots to be seen. And one of my chatters said something. He said something like, this feels more like watching golf shots instead of watching people play golf. And I was like, that's a great way to think about it, because it really was. It was just shots and shots and shots, but it wasn't like, okay, I got to play this. Okay, we want to play. Like, you know, it just wasn't like any really conversation between caddies and players. You really kind of didn't know what was going on. Like, I would look away and, you know, go to read my Twitch chat, and the next thing I knew, it was three players later. And the score, there was a scoreboard on the side that, with all the logos and stuff, and the names were abbreviated to look just ridiculous. Like, it made no sense. Since there were no country flags next to it, you couldn't even really figure out who anyone was, like if it was a random name.
It felt like they're trying to make it like F1 from like the leaderboard that I saw. But there was no leaderboards anywhere. I couldn't find it online. No.
Yeah, so that's the thing. So everyone kept asking, like, where's the leaderboard? I'm like, I don't know. I have no idea. Turns out Thursday night, LIV Tour didn't even know they needed a leaderboard. Like, they didn't even put the leaderboard in until like Thursday night. So Friday, Saturday, there was a leaderboard, but there was the leaderboard on the side that would count down the holes. So it'd be like 16 to play, 15 to play, whatever. And it kept moving. And it was a lot like F1 and NASCAR, people were saying. Like, I don't watch a lot of that, but I have seen that with NASCAR. So there was just a lot going on. It was a lot of golf. Like, it was almost like manic. Like, it was like, you kind of need to calm down. But like, other than that, the camera quality, like, it wasn't a great production, I'll be honest. And then they kept throwing in these like random pre-made packages, and one of them was like Chase Koepka, definitely at a Nicholas property, like doing his thing. And you know, I want to make a name for myself. Like, listen, Chase Koepka, you're 100% not going to make a name for yourself going to LIV Tour when we know Brooks is probably going to be following in like 2 weeks. So it's like, I don't know. The packages were ridiculous. They couldn't spell Taylor Gooch's name correctly. There was a lot of issues. Like, they need to maybe invest some of that Saudi oil money into a graphic designer. And maybe, I don't know. There's a lot of people that got fired from Golf Channel a few years ago. Maybe go poach some of them. Like, maybe hire them to do something. They might know what's going on, because LIV clearly didn't.
How do you feel about Charles Schwartzel saying that when he won $4 million and they asked him about it, and he said, I never really would pay attention from where my money was coming from before, and I don't care about it now.
I get that. I mean, I'll be honest, like, they've never had to worry about it because they've never taken money from a blood regime. Granted, so I get that. But at the same time, Charles Schwartzel probably isn't wondering where all of his money's coming from, because he hasn't been making a lot in the last few years. And that's not a diss at him. It's really not a diss. That's just facts. Like, that's just facts. So I think for him to make that $5 million was huge, and he definitely needed it. But I think that that's kind of ridiculous that these guys, like, just don't understand. Like, if someone would just fucking say, I need money, dude. Like, if I'm going to make more money this year here, you know, playing LIV Tour in the 8 events than I would next 5 years on the PGA Tour. I'm in my 40s. I don't really want to play anymore. I'm going to take the money. You know, I want the money. I don't care where it comes from. I just want the money. But no one's saying that. People are saying that they're trying to, like, change, you know, give golf PGA players their freedoms and all this stuff. And it's like, no, like, that's not at all what it's about. Like, being an independent contractor, like, if you were really an independent contractor, you'd be allowed to still play the PGA Tour, right? Well, you're not. So you're clearly not. You can literally only play LIV.
Well, and it's interesting too, because everyone's like, well, they're essentially exhibition matches, right? And so why don't they try to do something a little bit different to mix the format up? Since they're all for progression of the game, let's do a mixed event where you have men and women competing, and women can play for that amount of money. But why is that not happening? Because they don't give a fuck about the progression of the game. Like, they don't.
They're literally trying. And that's the thing. And when people go, but they're not making any money. And I was one of those people. It's like, how are they going to do this? Like, someone's going to be mad they're not getting any money. But the more I read about it, the more I was like, oh, they really don't care. This is all part of Vision 2030. Like, this is all some, you know, by the Saudi government. They're running out of oil. They got to do like what UAE did. UAE ran out of oil. So they have this huge tourism industry. Like, Saudi Arabia's going to run out of oil too. I mean, they never tell you that, but there's no other reason for them to want to grow the tourism industry if their oil and stuff isn't going well. You know what I mean? Like, it's just, I don't know. There's a lot going on. Like, Saudi Arabia is a very closed off country. So why would anyone think that they really genuinely want to grow anything for any kind of benevolent reason?
Yeah.
Don't try to, like, turn this around.
Spin it into something that it's not. Yeah. I think that's something.
Yeah.
I kind of mentioned that last week when all these press releases were coming out, and it's like, well, it's for the progression of the game. It's like, no, it's not. You keep trying to make this into something that it's not. And I think if they actually really leaned into what it is, it would be a little bit more successful, and people would probably not have, like, at least some people would probably be like, okay, like, at least they're being honest about why they're there and why they're playing, but they're just not. And I think it really, again, goes back to what I said, just really came through from, like, the few things that I did see on social media where there's no heart in it. They don't have any passion for what they're doing, and I don't think any of them are really buying into it, except for probably Phil Mickelson, who looks like he was like, what the fuck was up with Phil Mickelson?
He looks like those pictures of him. Oh, the eyes! I don't know. I mean, he literally took that don't blink thing to heart. But then he also showed up looking like a guy that just got divorced, maybe had some sexual harassment lawsuit against him, has been drinking Jim Beam nonstop. Like, he didn't even shave. Like, your hair and your beard don't match. Like, shave it or dye the beard. You gotta do one or the other. Like, he looked awful. Oh, and then speaking of looking at Phil, the first day, Paige, I don't know if you saw this, but he had on an Augusta pullover, like a vest that with the Augusta logo on it, that was clearly like colored in with Sharpie, like blacked out, right? So like they don't sell like black clothing with black logos. It's a white logo or green logo or whatever. He obviously took the Sharpie, and then by like the ninth hole, it was turned inside out. So I don't know. I don't know what the hell he was trying to do, but he had a lot going on between Augusta wear, disheveled old man look. I've just done like three lines of, you know what, like with the eyes. I don't know. It was a lot.
It was a lot. And it just seems fake. At this point, to be honest, like, it just doesn't even seem real. It's like you could hire the smartest people in digital media and traditional media, whatever. How is it this poorly done? And I think it's really sad because some of their ideas aren't bad. I love the fact that they stream through YouTube. I think that having team events is not a terrible idea. I think that there are certain things that they are doing that the PGA Tour could pick up, and it could really enhance the viewing experience. But because it's done through LIV, I think that that's going to be completely thrown out, which is really upsetting to me because it's like, this is actually hurting the progression of golf, I think, because we're seeing people do something that is different, and I'm all for that, but we can't come out and say, like, we like this or we like that, and it's also done so poorly that I don't even think that the tour will look at this and be like, that was a success, people want that, because it's just not a good representation of streaming through YouTube or doing things that are different. They had, like, a concert, like, the food. They're really trying to make it into an experience, which is something that I've talked about a lot, where to get more people into the game of golf, you need to make it more than just golf, because people don't want to come and just watch golf. They want to be there for entertainment value. And I think there are certain aspects of the LIV Tour that are doing it correctly, but because it's them, it's never going to be done again, or people are going just to shit on it right away, that it's never going to be done. And that's going to hurt the progression of golf.
Yeah, I agree. I just think the whole thing is just so weird. Like, how wrong were we, right? Like, everyone's like, you know, it's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. But it turns out everyone knew it was going to happen. Everyone who's telling us it's not going to happen knew it was going to happen. And it's like, why? Just be honest. Just be like, yeah, this is a legitimate threat. Like, don't act like, oh, it's dead in the water. Like, even Rory. I mean, maybe Rory genuinely believed it wasn't going to happen. But I don't know. Like, even he was like, yeah, it's the worst business plan I've ever seen. None of this is going to happen. It's dead in the water. Like, I don't know.
Do you see them actually being competition for the PGA Tour?
I think it could cause an issue on the PGA Tour if there is a mass exodus of top 100, top 50 players. Because it is, you know, it just looks like really easy money. And that's the issue, is that you don't really have to work for it. You're guaranteed to get paid. You know, every week you show up on the PGA Tour, you're not guaranteed a paycheck. But every week on Live, you are. So I think it could hurt the tour. But at the same time, like, none of that is, like, realistic. Like, why would you pay people to play mediocre golf and pay them more than the people that are playing well? You know, and that's what I don't get. That's the thing that bothers me the most, is that there's no pressure.
I think we've seen the top players that are going to go over. I don't think we're going to have any more big surprises. Do you?
I'm worried we are, because everyone keeps throwing around Ricky's name, HV3, Bubba. I mean, not that we really care about Bubba, but, you know, like, yeah, I guess those aren't, I mean, I guess Ricky's not as big of a name as he used to be. But, like, that's someone that is so well respected on the PGA Tour and is known as one of the really nice guys that you would hope that, like, he plays because he loves the game. You know, like, you would hope he'd be more in the Justin Thomas kind of school of thought. But I think, like, there is an issue. Like, it wouldn't surprise me if Wolves Altoris went over there, like, at all. Just because, like, he still doesn't want a PGA Tour. He's made a lot of money, but, like, he hasn't won a PGA Tour yet.
Yeah, and because he's overrated and he can't win on tour.
Yes, exactly. But, you know, and that's the thing. Like, there are players that it just wouldn't surprise me. But then again, you know, you see the Instagram comments from February that Pat Perez made where he was like, where someone's like, oh, are you going to take the Saudi money? And he's like, F no. Like, I'm not taking that. So it's like, oh, that's really funny, because Wayne Gretzky came around and tried to give you like $3 and you just jumped right up and down. Like, can we talk about that? 10 million compared to everyone else is like in the 100 millions. And Pat Perez is like, I got 10 million. And his wife's like, it's going to be a comeback. And you're just like, both of you need muzzles. Get the fuck out of here. Like, y'all idiots.
That was crazy that she released the news that Pat Perez was going to the Live Tour on her Instagram account, on her Instagram stories, and then the next day put up another set of stories and was outraged that people were commenting on her stories as if that wasn't a huge news break. Like, you're of course going to get negative comments if you release news like that on your personal Instagram account when it was not reported at all before that.
I know, and that the best part is, though, is how she starts off, like, the video with, my Instagram is not for you to look at and enjoy yourself to. And I was like, who's jerking off? What? Like, nobody, literally nobody, Satan, that lady, don't jerk off to me. It's like, I don't think anyone was doing that, because we've all seen pictures of you before. They were scary. Pictures of you after, still really scary. Like, no one is jerking off to your pictures, sweetie pie. Like, I don't even think Erez wants to jerk off to her pictures. Like,
you're about to be blocked. As she said, anyone who says anything negative, you will be blocked.
Enjoy yourself. And then it's gonna be iconic! Really? She's just excited. I don't know. Ugh.
Wait, she...
Like, what a way to enter a fucking room. Like, usually people say hi, not don't jerk off to my pictures, you know?
The whole thing was so bizarre, and... But again, it's like, I'm not surprised that he's going. Like, there are certain players that I think are gonna go, and it's like... But I don't care. I'm not, like, tuning in to watch Patrick Reed, even though I'm a stan for Justine. Like, I just don't... I'm not gonna tune in. And even, like, with Bryson, he was... constantly in the news, always a storyline, but then when he got injured, he wasn't playing, and he hasn't been playing that well, so we haven't been, you know, like, talking about him. I haven't missed him.
No.
Same with Ricky Fowler. He's not, like, playing that well. It's not like I'm thinking, like, man, I really, really wish I could see some Ricky Fowler right now on TV.
I mean, I just think Ricky's just such a good dude, and, like, you know, I'm buying this caddy and stuff, so I want them to, you know, do well. And even if Ricky does go to Live, I won't hate him, but
That's going to be, to me, the most surprising move because he's making so much money off of his endorsements. And he works with Rocket Mortgage. And we saw that Bryson also was working with Rocket Mortgage and they dropped him immediately. So Ricky would lose the Rocket Mortgage deal, I'm sure, and probably a couple others. And so I really don't think Ricky is hurting for money. So to me, that would be a really surprising move, especially since the tour has put so many resources into promoting him and to building his brand to what it is. And I just, I don't see the benefit of him going over there. Yeah, like he's not making a lot of money through his play, but that really hasn't been the reason why people like Ricky. It's not like he's ever been at that top echelon of player. Like he's not, he's won a major. He only had like one or two years where he had like multiple wins. So it's not like he was ever like dominating or one of the top players in the world. People liked him because of his personality and his image and that he's cool and all of these other things, which brought him all the endorsement deals. Why go to the LIV Tour? That to me makes no sense. No sense.
I wonder if part of it's like an ego thing, right? Like all the guys that have gone over to LIV haven't played well either this season or like the last two seasons. So it makes me wonder if it's like they just like need a boost or something, some kind of like confidence builder. I don't know. But it's like, and then you look at Ricky, right? Ricky didn't qualify again for the US Open, which fucking sucks. Like, you know, we want to see him there. It's a big event this week. We're going to see the players from LIV there. But how long are we going to see these players at majors if there's no world ranking points? Until the, you know, the LIV, I think they want to go through Asian Tour to try to buy their way into the world official world golf rankings, which I really hope that doesn't happen. But like, you know, these guys think like, oh, I can still play the majors. Yeah, you can still play the majors while you're top 100 in the world, but that's not going to last long.
So I missed this remark. So Jay Monahan said that the PGA Championship or PGA of America had a very strong stance on what they're doing. Have they come out and put a statement if they were going to allow players? Did he mean the USGA? I was really confused when he said that in his interview.
Yeah, I was too. I think maybe he did mean the USGA because the PGA, I mean, that's like,
they haven't said anything about that.
Yeah, they haven't said anything. Masters hasn't said anything. Even the RNA hasn't said anything.
Well, the RNA will definitely allow it, I'm sure. I don't think that they would not allow it. I think the USGA had to, just because it was almost like a last minute thing. I think they would have had a ton of blowback if they didn't allow the LIV players to be in. And I thought their statement made a lot of sense too. You know, it just, I get it. I don't think that Augusta is going to allow it, to be honest. And we'll see about the PGA. I thought that maybe Jay said that because remember the PGA of America put out a statement saying that Phil is welcomed. So maybe that's what he was referring to. Mm. Like that is the stance that he made, that they made, but that doesn't support Jay Monahan. So that whole thing was a little bit confusing to me. I didn't know if you had any insight there.
Yeah, no, I agree. Cause I was like, I don't know. I don't. Cause I was curious too, when he said that I was like, maybe he's talking about the Ryder Cup in the future. Like I genuinely didn't know what he was talking about. Yeah, I don't know. I think this week at the US Open is just going to be, it's going to be really interesting. Like Phil's press conference, right now we're recording this on Monday morning, his press conference is in a few hours. So by the time this is released, you know, we'll have watched it and stuff. But I'm like really excited about that. I'm curious how many questions he's going to, you know, try not to take. You know, Alan Shipnuck's going to be there front row, like ready to ask questions. And, you know, I can't wait for it.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
If a new house is on your wish list in the next 5 years, grow your savings faster and experience your dreams with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus account from Kemba Financial Credit Union. A savings account specifically designed to save for a new home where you can earn 7% APY, a $500 matching bonus, and a $1,500 mortgage closing cost credit. Learn more at Kemba.org. Offer expires March 31st, 2025. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. NMLS 292230. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by NCUA.
This is Ashley Iaconetti from the Ben and Ashley I Almost Famous podcast. Tennessee just sounds perfect. whether that's live music, the crack of a campfire, or kids laughing on an adventure. To start planning your trip, visit tnvacation.com. Tennessee sounds perfect.
I think the U.S. Open is going to be incredible. I mean, with all of the drama that's going on, I can't imagine being one of those players coming in and just the isolation you're probably going to feel among the other players.
And in Boston with Boston fans, like, hell no.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting. I don't know much about the golf course. Do you?
It's so Brookline's like a very old traditional course. They've had a lot of U.S. Opens. I want to say like Francis Wimet or something won there like long ass time ago. Like, it's just one of those really like Northeast classic courses. You have to hit the ball straight. You have to be able to, you know, hit greens and be within a decent proximity. Now, Matt Fitzpatrick won the U.S. Amateur there. Is it 2016, 2017, whatever year he won that, was at that course. And this is the kind of course that I love Matt Fitzpatrick at. So I really like Matt Fitz this week.
He's going to let us down once again, though. I feel like there's so many golf. Even at the RBC, I was like, this is Maddie's week. And then, of course, didn't get it done. But it's like, there's certain players that just pull you in week after week. And he's one of them. And it's like, I want to root for him and I want him to get it done. But I don't think he's going to do it.
Yeah, I don't know. I feel like he's like his game is like he's at like a really like he's kind of like ready to take the lead in the race, like nose to nose, and he's like ready to kind of pull away from the pack. And I feel like this could be a really good week for him because of all the, you know, ball striker requirements. He has fabulous memories here, right? You know, he won a U.S. Amateur here. So he played, what was it, I guess 6 rounds, because it's how many rounds of match play? It's 2 qualifying, so you can do 2 practice rounds, 2 qualifying, so that's 4, plus another 4 or 5, or is it 6?
I think it's 4 plus the 36, so 5.
Okay, so he's literally played so many rounds of golf at this course and has played those rounds of golf so well. He's coming into it playing well. I think Rory's going to have more of an issue winning this week just because he won last week than a guy like Fitz, who was, you know, at the front of the pack for a while and then, you know, on Saturday, Sunday kind of slipped back a little bit. So I do like Matt Fitz this week. I also really like Cameron Smith, but who are your picks for Brookline?
I was talking to my friend Dan this morning, and every week we just kind of talk over certain players that we like. We were both stumped, to be honest.
Really?
I mean, we were talking about Cameron Smith. We were talking about Matt Fitzpatrick. We were talking about potentially Rory, JT, the bigger names. But it's like, I feel like every time we overcomplicate it and we'll pick players that, you know, it's like, of course, like Rory's playing well, his course fits him, but he won last week, so it's like, I don't know about that. Same with like JT, his game's trending, but can he win 2, you know, majors in a row?
Yeah.
Billy Horschel, he's also trending in a good position, but it's like, he hasn't won a major, that's a big step. Same with Max Homa, he plays well in really difficult golf courses. He also is trending in the right direction, but hasn't won a major, so there's these guys that are like in it, and then there's like one big factor that it's like kind of holding me back. But again, it's like Matt Fitzpatrick seems like a really good fit. The fact that he's won there, having good memories on a golf course is so incredibly valuable. And I don't think a lot of people realize that. There are just certain golf courses that just fit your eye and you have confidence on, and you will always play well. And that's a huge factor. But you looked at the PGA Championship and he completely fell apart on the final round. So it's like he can get himself in those positions, but it's finishing that's, you know, the issue for him. Or, you know, someone like a Victor Hovland, he has the game, but a short game's not good enough to win in a major. So John Rahm, you would think that he should be playing well, but he only won once this year against a super weak field. So there's not one player that's like really jumping out ahead of the field and it's like, that's our guy this week.
No, I agree. But I feel like Matt Fitz, like I said, like after he kind of collapsed on Sunday at the PGA Championship, like I didn't expect him to do that because I thought he'd kind of already been in those positions and I thought that would like make him a better player for it. But I really think that he's going to be more prepared going into the U.S. Open at Brookline after the Sunday that he had in at the PGA Championship. Yeah. And his caddy, Billy Foster, fucking legend on tour. He's caddied for Seve, caddied for, you know, Lee Westwood. Like, he's caddied for everyone. And I think having that like, I don't want to say like support or I don't know what the word is, but just having him on the bag, I think, is going to do Fitz even like more better, you know, being back at Brookline and having someone like that on the bag that, you know, and I don't know. I think it's going to be a good week for Fitz, but I do love Matt Fitz. So.
people don't realize how important it is to have a knowledgeable caddy. I think that they tend to get overlooked at times. And I will say that one thing that the Live Tour did really well, and I saw you talk about this, mm-hmm. is that they are valuing the caddies by giving them, you know, better accommodations. And that's something that mm-hmm. I hope like can continue on the PGA Tour, where they almost get equal treatment because they are, it's a team. They can't get it done on their own.
No, I agree. But that's an interesting point, because Rory is kind of known for just having whoever the fuck he wants on the bag. Like, at least after JP, you know, because he's had Harry on the bag. And then he won this weekend with his buddy, who he actually tied for fourth in Dubai in 2019 with. So he has, like, really good karma with, I think, Niall Mick something is his name, or Niall someone, but...
So what do you do with that? Because that was really interesting. So
yeah, that's an outlier. I really believe that's an outlier.
Rory's caddy wasn't available to caddy that week. He had a baby? Is that what it was?
Yeah, I think it was baby or wedding. I wasn't sure which one, but...
Yeah, it was kind of weird. They were kind of baby.
I think it might have been baby. I heard him say baby.
Baby, okay. So he had a baby, and so Rory wins without his caddy that he normally has on the bag. Do you keep the caddy that you won with going into the U.S. Open, or do you go back to your other caddy?
No, I think you go back to Harry, because I think that the dynamic is probably going to be really similar, because they're, you know, Harry and he are really, really good friends from growing up. I think he and this Niall guy are good friends from growing up. So Rory just kind of wants a caddy to show up and shut up. And Harry is, like, really good at that. Because I'll be honest, Harry could probably not caddy for anyone else on tour. And I think Harry's a really nice guy, but he just doesn't... He's not a caddy. Like, he doesn't... He's not a professional caddy. He doesn't really... If you observe Harry doing things and then other caddies, you can, like... You're like, okay. Yeah, he does things a little different. Oh, Harry just got in trouble again for doing something he wasn't supposed to have. Got it. Like, So, I think you just go back to Harry. Like, I don't think for Rory it matters who's on the bag as much. But I would like to see him go back to someone like a JP, or even he was like a Billy Foster would be amazing.
I was going to say that. Do you think that if Rory had I don't want to say experience, but a different type of caddy.
A professional caddy.
Yeah, that he would be playing better. And because there are times with Rory where it's like, seems a little bit mental with him. And it seems like the players who are a little bit more on that side need a caddy to really bring them back. And at times we see mm-hmm. Rory tend to miss a short putt, then spiral, which I'm surprised he didn't do at the RBC, because he was missing a bunch of short putts.
He did on that one hole. Remember, he missed the short putt for par, and then he like snap hooked his drive 230 yards. And I was like, oh, hello, darkness, my old friend. This is the Rory we know and love.
But then JT fell apart, which kind of gave Rory a little bit of breathing room. I think if JT put some more pressure on him, who knows what would have happened.
Agreed.
But that goes back to, it's like, what if he had someone like a Bones on his bag? Would he then be able to take one mistake and not turn it into several?
I think that's a great point, because you look at how many times he won with JP on the bag, right? Yeah. And like, you know, I'm sure it was still, you know, a similar relationship with JP where it was like, you know, show up and shut up. But I think that there had to have been more, like he had to have been more of like a help. And maybe just earlier in Rory's career, that's what he thought he needed and then decided he didn't. But I think he does.
Yeah. I mean, having a perfect fit with a caddy is just as important as having a perfect fit with your golf clubs. So guys, don't forget to go to Club Champion and get fit. You guys can use my code PAGE. And like I said, it's so important to have clubs that fit you, that you feel confident with, because it makes a really big difference in your game and shooting lower scores. Amanda, do you agree?
I do agree. That was an incredible transition. Like, you have some really good transitions into stuff, and I love it. Like, you've caught me off guard a few times on this pod where you've done stuff like that, where I was like, oh, what's she talking about now? Oh, she's plugging Club Champion. Let's go, Queen.
Transitions? You know what? Transitions are good. Ending a fucking episode? Impossible for me. Impossible.
It is, yeah.
I don't know why. Every
Not
single
for you,
time.
Just in general, it's hard.
just can't do it. I mean, we have to like workshop some ideas where we can just wrap it up like quick and snappy, because the way I'm going, it just doesn't hit right, you know?
Yeah, because I feel like we always have like so much more that we could still talk about. So it's like kind of hard to be like, all right, bye.
Bye, guys.
Bye, Paige. You know?
Yeah, like, we want to just keep talking.
It's tough to end stuff. Like, I do the same thing on Twitch. Like, I'll be, you know, I was streaming for like 5 hours with the live stuff. And by that point, as soon as the last punt sank, I'm like, bye, I got to go. I really appreciate everyone coming in here, but I'm exhausted. Like, I got to get out of here. Like, and you just don't really know how to end stuff. Like, there's never a good, like, easy, natural way to end stuff.
Follow Playing Around with Paige Renee on iHeartRadio or subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts.
If a new house is on your wish list in the next 5 years, grow your savings faster and experience your dreams with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus account from Kemba Financial Credit Union, a savings account specifically designed to save for a new home where you can earn 7% APY, a $500 matching bonus, and a $1,500 mortgage closing cost credit. Learn more at Kemba.org. Offer expires March 31st, 2025. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. NMLS 292230. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by NCUA.
This is Ashley Iaconetti from the Ben and Ashley I Almost Famous podcast. Tennessee just sounds perfect. Whether that's live music, the crack of a campfire, or kids laughing on an adventure. To start planning your trip, visit tnvacation.com. Tennessee sounds perfect.
Get in zone, AutoZone.
Welcome to AutoZone. What are you working on today? Thinking about gas mileage. You know, changing your oil with a full synthetic oil like Castrol Edge can help your engine get more miles. Right now, you can get 5 quarts with an STP Extended Life Oil Filter for only $36.99. Get started on your next job today with the parts you need when you need them at AutoZone or AutoZone.com.
Get in the zone, AutoZone.
Restrictions apply.